Quiet in the studio, gentlemen. And Steve. Well, hello there. This is AbFab, your fabulous digital host of this digital pub of banter called Cheshire Matters. And on the show tonight, we have the wonderful Cutter back with us, our Scottish correspondent, Graham Cuttle. Say hello, sir.
Good evening, guys. It's a pleasure to be back on with you all. First time in the new year, so happy new year to all of you.
Thank you very much, sir. And the gazelle, that graceful man, a.k.a. Trevor Nichols. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, everybody. And in the great words of Vicky, this could be a sticky one tonight.
You got and all right, okay, we know he's here, the Raven. Say hello, Steve.
Hello.
Oh, that was good. Quick, all right, Mark.
Quick, move on.
That's a Mark. That's a dog with a hair lip. Oh, okay, right. Statsman, say hello.
Does that mean I get extra time now?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, I'll say hello to you fine people, fine specimens of human beings.
Hang on,
lovely listeners. Have a great week ahead. Hope you have a great Christmas, Easter. Hope the tooth fairy brings you all.
Any other messages for the world to cover for Steve?
And he's following my example of how I do this. He's not pinching on my ideas. You do write your own script, lad.
Don't forget to read them self-help books.
Yes.
Oh, I've got plenty of them here. Wait there. I'll show you the latest one. Wait there. I think I did tell you about this one, but I'll show you this. Wait there.
Wait a minute. People are listening. They can't see. Not yet. They're lucky.
Well, I'll show
probably for the best.
Wait there. This is a book I've yet to start on this, really. I bought this.
The body plan. The ultimate body plan.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, in order to get to that size, I have to tell you, you're going to have to not eat for at least a year.
What do you think? I'm aiming for this.
I'll tell you what. If I can just explain to the listeners what I'm looking at, ladies and gentlemen, it's a picture of a half naked man, which has got a ripped six pack, and I'm getting quite concerned that Steve's looking at pictures like that. To be honest,
well, considering that Steve's got a Dane pack, not a six pack.
it's a fitness manual. Tells you how to train properly. So this is my thing for the new year.
You're not ready on steroids.
All right, one at a time. First to Cutter. Say, give the insult, Cutter. Go ahead.
I'm saying that guy's on steroids. He's not done that naturally, mate.
No, he hasn't.
I'll try and do it on fruit pastels.
Yeah, what, one a year? That's how long it's going to take you. Anyway,
we'll see how things develop.
All right. Okay. Well, I've seen quite a few stories this week which were interesting, but these are the ones that got me. All right. Here's the first one. Please don't queue. We've run out of space. A new NHS dental practice that has battled six-hour queues from 5 a.m. shuts list to new patients 2 days after opening. That's because there were dozens and dozens of desperate patients queuing to register. It just highlights the problem that we've got with access to dentists now, especially NHS dentists. Anybody got any problems here?
Unless, of course, you're an immigrant. I can tell you a story about that.
Oh, go ahead, quickly.
Very quickly, a taxi driver friend of mine, he said, you don't know the half of what's going on. He got called over to Lord Darsbury, which is near me, that houses about 500 immigrants, on a Sunday afternoon. For the taxi to pick him up, he had toothache, and they took him to a dentist, which was opened on a Sunday.
Wow.
A private viewing for him to sort out his toothache.
Wow.
The rest of us can go and whistle or whatever you want to do.
Well, this you will be happening. Whistling because you'll be losing your teeth.
Yeah, well, this is what's happening in this country, and it's being covered up.
Yep. Mark, go ahead.
Anyone who tells you immigration is not the reason for this is literally gaslighting you. Just look at the identities of all the people who were waiting.
Oh, God. I mean, I looked at it. I looked at the pictures. This is a story in the Daily Mail. And to give credit to the person, it was from Emily Stern for Online, and she's the health reporter. And literally, you're quite correct. Most of the people were Asian or Muslim. You have to see the pictures. Very, very few white people there in the queues. Very few. And the queues were massive. I mean, what's it like in Scotland, Cutter?
I certainly don't see any problems like this in Scotland. I mean, I don't know anybody that hasn't got access to a dentist, so I think it might be an English thing, to tell you the truth, Jonathan.
Okay.
It certainly doesn't seem to be a problem up here.
So apart from raising of the taxes in Scotland, okay, the biggest drug problem in the UK, but you can still get to see a dentist.
And get to see a dentist, mate.
How are the doctors there, Graham? Is that the same?
Can you... Oh, tragic! Just the same as down south. You cannot see a doctor for love for money. Honestly,
yeah.
They're telling us to go to chemists now. You have to go to a chemist first, and a chemist will diagnose you up to a certain point, and then they send you to a doctor's. But you've got to go to the chemist first.
Wow,
it's unbelievable.
What about you, Toothy? Do you need anything, Raven?
I'm in generally good health at the moment and clearly working on turning myself into a Greek god.
my worry on this is that, you know, we can carry on until that chemist misdiagnoses.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then...
Can I just add something to this? That yesterday, by the way, I heard what I think was one of the first real acknowledgements from a conservative...
do you mind, Cutter? Blow your nose. Move before you blow your nose, you. I'm leaving that in. I'm not gonna edit that out. Sorry, Steve. Go on.
Yeah, well, it was terrible. Thank you, landlord. And clearly, Michael Gove yesterday, there was a debate talking about housing, actually, and Michael Gove actually acknowledged one of the reasons for pressures on housing in this country was a growing population.
Yep.
And I'm kind of thinking, we've been telling them this for years. And by the way, talking of housing and the strains of housing due to a growing population, I think there's some interesting figures out there on that. So I think we should do a bit of a special on that.
There's a dearth of housing, but we were onto
massive
this.
Massive issues raised in a political TV debate yesterday with Michael Gove.
Yep, I saw that. It was Laura Koonsberg. Okay, thank you. Okay, we're talking about dentists, Mark.
Yeah, it's all part of the same mix.
Yes, it is. It's part of the same problem. But we were talking specifically about dentists. Get your ears clean. Get to the doctors now.
If you interrupt me again anymore like that, you'll need one. Back on.
Ooh. Mr. Hard Knock. Go ahead, Mark.
It's the word in the use as well, a growing population. No, you're purposely raising it to unsustainable levels with people who are from this country and don't fit in our culture. If this isn't rocket science, when you're a city the size of what, Manchester, Liverpool, Birmingham, whatever it may be each year, and no new dentists.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, well, moving on. What about this? Referees are to hand out blue cards. Football fans left baffled by yet another bizarre rule change just days after the Premier League chief admitted the VAR system needs fixing. So, it's sin bin protocols. Go on, Stats.
I'm actually amazed. One second, Raven. I'm actually amazed that they forgot the rainbow cards where you get spanked by the referee over his knee.
Will they have separate sin bins for heterosexuals?
I've had too many questionable nights out, really, to be quite honest.
It'll be a non-binary sin bin. Don't worry, you get spanked in there too.
They'll need about 112 different sin bins. Go ahead, Cutter.
Yeah, adult baby sin bin.
That'll be one for Steve.
Down a storm up here, Jonathan, for half the population, I can assure you that, especially if they get used against the other half of the population. So go the blue cards.
I know why you want the blue cards.
Hang on. Let's just roll it back a bit. The red and yellows don't really work, do they?
No.
Not really stopped anything. So what's the point of this?
So it's sin bins, isn't it? If you get put in the sin bin, but where do you go? It is going to cause a lot of problems, in my opinion. It is going to cause a lot of problems. Now, what about the new legislation that's been brought in concerning protests? They brought in laws now that give the police more powers to actually arrest anybody with wearing face coverings, with a fine of £1,000 or a prison sentence of up to 1 month.
They've just been telling the whole population for 2 years to wear masks.
Well.
Insane, aren't they?
And the next one is...
Waste of space anyway, John.
They're not allowed to bring any form of firework to a protest. Again...
And that's going to be policed, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're going to end up with these women coming round with the hijabs and everything else.
Wait. Nobody is allowed to wear any kind of clothing, niqabs, any of that. They are forced to be able to show their faces so that the police can find out of anybody who are doing it. If you don't, you can get up to 3 months in prison. And you cannot use a no protest defense against it. So basically, the last one is you're not allowed to climb on any memorials, especially war memorials. That is going to be a 3 month.
I think that should be a separate sort of entity in itself as a law, not necessarily attached to protests.
Well, again, I'll make a statement now. Let's see that, please. Watch this space.
Is that I agree, Trevor. I agree. It's never going to happen. The thing about this for me is the right to protest, peaceful protest, and express is a fundamental right of this country, actually. And I really do believe in it. And I think it's another mechanism by the back door through these other organisations that have been running amok, like, you know, Just Stop Oil and these kind of protests. And
yeah, they're going to get it as well.
Well, I kind of think these people have been used, or I have other thoughts on that, perhaps. I think the whole system is now sort of engineered in such a way to close down debate at all levels, and we're reaching the point now where you can't go out of your door, you can't go on social media, you can't go and complain or express protest in a voice on the street. You can't write too many letters to your elected representatives or have the wording slightly wrong for fear of it being termed as aggressive or vexatious and start to be closed down in the system. There's that many mechanisms now to close down the voice of the public as a form of questioning authority per se in this country that effectively we are on the verge, if not we're already there, of becoming a police state. The only thing that's missing is the next stage where people are rounded up en masse for questioning the government. And we're not far off it, to be quite honest.
Mark, go ahead.
It will waste us time and space, to be honest. That it's not going to fix the jihadi groups, the attacks on our culture, or the hatred that's being spewed out in these protests, especially towards the Jews. Sorry, I actually disagree with Steve. I think they've tried to do this because public opinion,
yeah,
because we've been screaming at them, get them off the monuments, blah blah, but these little one or two people climbing on a monument, it's not great, it's disrespectful, but it's not the actual bigger picture. And the problem we've got is the people who are enforcing this, I'm just gonna say it, a lot of them are thick.
Yeah,
we've been watching some of these videos, the police don't understand the law, not all of them, but you're looking at the quality of the recruitment now and you're getting these people who haven't got a clue what day it is. Apparently you can't sing songs outside of a church. I mean, these people don't know how to literally like understand this legislation. So, yeah, like Trev said, let's see what happens. Good luck.
Yeah, okay. The point is, though, Mark, in the process, we're losing the right to express. And I don't agree with that. That's a fundamental essence of a free society. And we are all free in the sense under common law. And Magna Carta, as we know, the Bill of Rights.
Unless you commit a crime.
Unless you commit a crime. The fact
unless,
of the matter
of course,
is,
you're indigenous, you know, white person, and then it doesn't mean anything at all because there's a two police.
Two-tier policing.
Yeah, two-tier policing. So, you know, this should have happened 10 years ago. It's too late now. It's not worth it.
But the point is, it wouldn't matter so much if it was a level playing field. It never has been. Now, everybody's losing out because certain demographics wanted their own way.
Well,
and because they were causing for all, everybody's now losing their right to express.
Okay, let me wrap that up with final comment from Mark. And then I want to move on to something which is quite important, which is our armed services. And it's the last of the roundup. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, like the boys are saying, they're going to be too scared to actually implement this on the people it needs to be. And you know who it'll work on.
Yeah.
It'll be the indigenous. As I say, they've already got the laws to sort all this stuff out. There's been you can put a section, whatever, 35 in, no masks. They've done this before. I don't understand why they need new laws for stuff that's already there.
Okay.
You can get off the monuments, no problem. But like you say, they won't be used against them. It'll be used against us.
Right. Well, this is a letter that was sent by Major General Julian Thompson, CB, OBE, Lieutenant General Sir Henry Beverley, Brigadier David Chandler, Major General Tim Cross, Lieutenant General Sir James Dutton, Major General Malcolm Hunt, Colonel Richard Kemp, Rear Admiral Roger Lane Knott, Lieutenant General Sir Hugh Pike, Lieutenant General Jonathan Riley, Colonel Ewan Southby Taylor, and Major General Nick Vaux, CBDSO. Now, this letter falls in line with something that Mark and I have been discussing, which is DEI.
Yeah, I thought that was relevant.
And
we'll
so
we'll be doing something on this, won't we, this week?
He said, basically, in summary, Dear Secretary of State, as retired senior officers of the Crown with experience of senior command, we feel compelled to write to you with a sense of sadness, incredulity, and anger, having viewed astonishing evidence of the depth and pervasiveness of the racist and intolerant diversity, equity, and inclusivity ideology being pushed within HM Armed Forces. And they're talking about men, and they call it lunacy, of punishing woke ideas around the use of gender-neutral pronouns or allowing male soldiers to wear makeup or flowing locks on parade to accentuate their feminine side. We pick out the wickedness of a policy to dilute security vetting in order to boost representation of ethnic minorities. With Islamism and other extremism rampant, this is nothing short of dangerous madness. And they say it straight out. Go ahead, Mark.
It's about time. Yep. It's just a shame these are ex-military. But yeah, we're going to be doing a podcast on this. We're going to show what this causes, why this DEI fails.
Yep.
What we need to do about it.
Yep. It's absolute madness. Anybody else got anything to say with that before we move on to the main story of the evening?
Well, you imagine a massive war breaking out there, eh? Imagine that.
I've got to get my hair done.
Yeah.
Charge! Let me get my hair done first.
We might laugh, but I've done some sums, and it is not looking good for our armed forces if it carries on the way it is.
Oh, no, true.
Oh, we're in dire straits.
Yeah, and what, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to give the Islamists time during a battle to sit down and pray?
I think the scariest thing I read, I don't know whether I read or whether I heard, but that if all the British armed forces would barely fill a football stadium.
Correct.
Now, that's pretty scary, isn't it?
Without a doubt.
It's scary. Really bad.
And don't get me wrong, I'm proud of the British forces, because when I was at the King's Coronation, honestly, to see the guys marching past you and all their stuff and all the rest of it, first class, absolutely first class. But I think we're badly letting them down. I really do.
Okay, well, we're going on to the National this evening, and this is a difficult one. This is about Brianna Gay, if I've got the surname pronounced correctly. And
Brianna J, is it?
Okay.
J.
And the murder victim was left devastated by discussing abuse from gangs of bullies who constantly tormented her at school because she was trans. Now, Mark's going to lead on this one. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do what the others are doing. I think rather than using this as a political tool or to further ideology, which I've witnessed a lot from the trans movement and from the likes of Keir Starmer in Parliament against Rishi Sunak, who should be disgusted for doing that. That was terrible. I think we need to be looking at why we've got such a bad mental health epidemic and why children are killing each other more than ever. Now, I've been mentioning this and the problems with kids. Now, mental health, adolescent mental health conditions such as depression, anxiety, psychological distress, and suicidal behaviours are increasing worldwide, and mostly among girls. And this is according to a survey published by researchers at Columbia University. We've also got rises in self-harm, which studies suggest, from other reports, that's connected to technology use, and the number of teenagers being convicted in murder in England and Wales, this is shocking, actually soared in the last decade. The number of 12 to 17-year-olds sentenced for murder is quadrupling. So my question is, rather than using this in the culture war to beat each other with, what the hell are we going to do about it? This is serious. Again, it's our children who are at risk. Why did two children from secure homes plan and committed such a brutal murder?
They were from quite affluent homes as well.
They were, yeah. This is really worrying now. Jenkinson, the girl, she was found to have traits of autism and ADHD. That sounds like she wasn't actually diagnosed, possibly. So what are traits? and the boy Radcliffe was diagnosed after the arrest as autistic.
Well, I'm going to say that in my day, I never even knew that ADHD existed. It was just one of these things that have come up because it's big business for pharma. It's a lot of money, these pills that they give these kids. Go ahead, Steve. And then I'm going to pass it on to the cutter. And then I'm going to pass it on because this is a Warrington area subject. And I'm waiting to hear what the Gazelle is going to say about this. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment too much specifically on the actual case. I'm going to comment on the area Mark raised, actually, about increase in mental health of young people of school age and sort of teenage years. And I've got a lot of thoughts on this and a lot of strong views, actually. And it comes down to it's a collective of various things, in my view. And first of all, I don't agree with a lot of the messaging that is delivered through the school education system. I think we've got a lot of people who leave school in rather mixed up states of mind in various ways. I remember being at school and I don't remember seeing anywhere near the subject matters which are now being delivered to the sex education program. I think that leaves young people, vulnerable young people who are still finding themselves, discovering themselves as they're getting ready to leave school, being delivered a whole series of messages which leaves them confused. We have poor standards in every single area of life. On top of that, we've got for young people, another area we covered a while ago, where they are left bewildered at the state of the world because of the endless media coverage of the whole world and everything that's going on in it. And they're faced now with the dire prospect of facing extreme financial stress for their entire lives due to the state of this country's finances, the cost of living, and the prospects of how to carve out a very decent and honourable and financial stable future for themselves. So you've got all of these different things going on and all sorts of messages being bombarded to these young people. But we've drifted away. I'll summarise with this. We've drifted away from core values, traditionalism, and having any sense, an idea of as to who we are as a country and what it means to start out as a young person in this country. Now I see young people setting out with no sense or idea anymore as to who they are, what they're about, what this country's about, or what they should believe in anymore whatsoever.
Thank you. Let's pass on to the cutter. Cutter, ADHD, do you remember anything like that at school?
We never had any ADHD. We had the odd people, if you know what I mean. By odd, I mean just a few people, but everybody in any of these children as well just seem to have anything, ADHD, whatever. I don't know what it is. I think the standard of parenting in this country has fallen by the wayside. Parents just seem to sit their children in front of screens, social media, throw them out the door if they can get them out the door, because it's very hard to get children out the door.
I just have to tell you while you're talking, everybody is nodding on here in agreement with you and what you're saying.
But the standard of parent is falling by the side. I think you should have to set a test to become a parent to prove that you're working, you've got a financial backing against you, and you're going to bring your children up. Right? Bring your children up. How were you brought up? How were you brought up? I was brought up by two stable people that cared about me, educated me, taught me what was right from wrong. I mean, look at it today. I saw it in the news this morning. Four young boys, two 12-year-olds, a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old, raped a girl. Now, how does that come about? When I was 12 years old, I didn't even know what sex was when I was 12 years old. Do you know what I mean? So how, what sort of education have those four boys had?
That's outside influences.
Exactly, social media and all the rest of it, because our parents aren't paying attention to what they're doing.
Because we didn't have access to social media at that time. We weren't influenced. We didn't have any of that influence. We were out doing things, going out with our friends. We were playing.
Listen, the best we had was a porn mag you found in someone's bin. Truth be told, wasn't it? I mean, you found a porn mag in a bin, you thought you were quids in.
There's tons of them in Trevor's back passage, I can assure you.
It's not my back, down my back passage.
Oh, they've all been taken away. Has your bin man been man?
Well, yeah, no, bin man's not been. I agree. 14-year-olds took them all, though.
We totally agree with you, Graham. Trevor. Oh,
sad.
Trevor, go ahead.
Yeah, just a...
This is your area. This is Warrington. I mean, she... Brianna G or J was from Warrington.
Jonathan, my eldest granddaughter's penciled in for Birchwood.
Oh, back.
That's where they live. Yeah. But apparently Birchwood is a very good school, mate. Apparently.
Well, we'll go into some of that in a minute.
Yeah, well, we have... In life, this is just a side note list that I've just sprang to my mind. We have a very, very rare combination of evil with these two, i.e. Brady and Hindley and others that have gone through time, and they feed off each other's evil. Yeah. Anyway, that's just a side issue. Now, let's get this straight. First of all, this is not a run-of-the-mill problem. Isn't it blatantly obvious that there may be a problem ahead? With the circumstances that were there,
yeah.
Was there no red flags? Well, yes, there were red flags. And I was watching a Sky reporter who mentioned today, he stated that there were no earlier signs to suggest this would happen. Yes, there were earlier signs. And reporters like him don't help. It's as simple as that. This monster, Jenkinson, tried to poison another child when she was at culture school. And then she was transferred over. She was moved over to Birchwood. Is there no alarm bells ringing there from Birchwood's side? Now, these two met, which is Brianna and this girl, they met in the inclusion room, which is it's a special function room. And I thought, under those circumstances, that itself alone would have been monitored more than an average, you know, classroom. So now we know the facts, and we've got to stand back and look again from the outside. This monster was moved from one school to another for a very serious offence. A member of the public highlighted a problem within the Birchwood School of continual bullying, informing the authorities and the local MP. Nothing seemed to be acknowledged. Now again, all too late, we've got this, the ongoing, you know, inquiry that's about to come up. You know, I don't know. It just annoys me so much. So when we try to ask any questions about this, all you get is the same old, same old. We can't say anything yet because there's an ongoing inquiry. I mean, how long is the inquiry going to go on for? And they're just going to keep it dragging out until basically things start to fade. And I'm going to add at this stage as well, and it's not only me saying this, the Warrington North MP is jumping all over this, you know, in my opinion, for her own political gain. And this sickens me to the stomach, this, not because it's her, but when people like this in her position do it. And she never, ever misses a photo opportunity. And she's also invited Brianna's mother to Parliament for I don't know whatever reason, which is what Mark mentioned earlier on about Starmer making cheap. Yeah. You know, turning...
He used her to have a pop at Rishi.
Well, of course he did. And isn't it funny that she was there on that day, invited by a Labour MP? Can we not see anything there? I certainly can. Why was she invited by the Labour MP? This is a said MP that had reports given to her and did nothing about it, about the bullying in that school. Now, that's not clear yet, so I've got to be careful what I say there. Until this, you know, another inquiry goes on. Now, when it finally, you know, when the inquiry is finally over, let's just wait for the report on the MP's part in this. I'll not forget it, and I'll bring it up again in future podcasts. So, what do we have? This monster was transferred to Birchwood from Culture School after a poisoning incident. Did that not raise any red flags? A member of the public complained to authorities and the MP, who is now making absolute political gain from this. And what, has there not any red flags? Then this monster again attempted to overdose Brianna 2 weeks before the incident actually happened. And again, no red flags. They're rotten to the core, a lot of them. You know, I don't know what to say other than that. Wait for this inquiry. I will be following this up, and I will be following this MP as well. But again, it'll all be after the election.
Go ahead, Stats.
I'm not waiting. The court case is finished, so we can discuss it. I'd like to say prevention. Could it have been stopped with better safeguarding? I think it was unlikely. I think this was way more than bullying and a real sign of a real underlying problem in society. But the bullying thing is still an issue. So you look at Warrington, and the signs were there because Warrington was actually identified as one of the worst performing local authorities for tackling bullying. Apparently, there's a 300% increase for exclusions for bullying.
And hundreds of parents have been complaining about it.
So something's not right.
And what has the MP said about that?
Nothing.
She doesn't say much because, like you say, she uses the excuses. I think what she's talking about is there's another case going on with someone who's raised a complaint. It doesn't stop you from talking about this murder. Now, like Graham said, social media, some of the stuff this kid was watching was disgusting. Now, we've got to deal with this dark web situation. Now, she was watching videos about people being tortured and killed, not fake, real videos. So now, I had a bit of a beef with the government putting through all these bills to save, you know, keep children safe online. I actually think now Graham's right, and parents aren't doing the jobs, not all of them, but some of them cannot control their children's online activities. So if that's the case, then someone's going to need to step in. I just don't like it when it's the government, because obviously the laws they write can be used for other reasons, like with the protest laws. But are we just going to let this carry on? Because children are literally killing each other here.
Okay.
And we're all being told, well, we'll have an inquiry and we can't really talk about it. No, I'm sorry, that's not good enough. There is a pattern when two people of like-minded, like these two, come together, like someone's already mentioned, and they are more likely to kill people. Now, they had a list of people who were going to kill. The first one they tried to kill didn't turn up. I think Brianna was the easy target, sadly.
Yes, that was the case, that night, yeah.
There was a couple of transphobic comments, if you want to call it that, in their messages, but when you look at the documentary done by the Daily Mail, that was not the reason they were murderers. They were going to kill people who weren't trans. They just wanted to kill, especially the girl. And by the sounds of it, she actually enjoyed this. We've got to look at why.
Yeah.
What's causing this? We can no longer hide from this and kick it around and blame each other politically and use it as a tool. We've got to put children first, because this is really bad.
Okay, Steve's got a quick...
There, and again, we're the ignored.
Steve's got a quick comment to make, and then we're moving on to the local, where he's going to have an awful lot to say, I'm sure. Okay, go ahead.
Not that much, to be honest. I just want to echo the issue, which I think is a massive one, of parental responsibility. I tire of not only parents, but just about sort of all sorts of other people, and for all sorts of other reasons, absconding from their responsibility in the continuous pursuance of rights and the continuous pursuance of blame when anything goes wrong. It's the government, it's so-and-so, it's so-and-so, it's so-and-so, it's the school, it's these, and it becomes this total mess. We've said it many times before, I'll finish with this. Nobody in this country, really, as a generic population, seems to sort of have the idea of what we're about anymore. We have no fundamental principles. We're following no general sort of moral compass as a nation. It's all about who wants to make up the rules that they can implement to suit the people who are pursuing rights here and there and everywhere else. We appease people left, right and centre, and we've become so liberalist as a nation that anybody can do what the hell they want all of the time, with no responsibility. And then when it goes wrong, the finger pointing goes everywhere else.
Okay, well, that's great. You're going to get the Cutter in total agreement with you, are you not, Cutter?
Absolutely.
So
I think they summed it up there. Moral compass of this country has been lost.
Yep.
And it badly needs repointing in the right direction.
I do believe it's
woke, gender ideology, trans ideology, any ideology you think about it. We're killing ourselves from the inside. Now, Are we killing ourselves from a policing point of view in Cheshire? I want to know. Police boss apologizes for comments on schoolgirls wearing very short skirts. This is a story from the Manchester Evening News and by a fellow called Joseph Tinman, the politics writer. And it's about John Dwyer in Cheshire. And what he's saying is, a police and crime commissioner is facing calls to resign. Resign? Over misogynistic comments about schoolgirls wearing very short skirts. There we go. After we've actually finished discussing this, I want the cutter to comment on this and see what he thinks. I'm going to go over to Mark first for his comments.
John, let's see you go first. He's raring to go here.
Oh, I can see him. He's gagging at the bit. He loves John Dwyer, don't you, Steve?
No.
I thought he froze or something there.
I wonder what.
He's your favourite police and crime commissioner, isn't he, Steve?
I do wonder how many smarties you've had before you come on here sometimes.
I don't need any smarties. There. I'm a smarty all in one, sir.
Stop there, just one second. Yeah, Cheshire Police Crime Commissioner John Dwyer. He's found himself on the receiving end of calls for him to step down following his comments about. Schoolgirls wearing very short skirts, unlike back in his day, as he refers to, in the 1960s. Now, there's two kind of things to this, really. First of all, he's been described as sexist and misogynistic. Now, taking his comments aside, I'm simply going to say, in one sense, people have got their own views on standards of dress and how they think people should dress in terms of formalities and presenting themselves. And some people might have more traditional views based on their experience in life and various other things. So it's not necessarily misogynistic and it's not necessarily sexist. However, his comments came at a time where he was in a public discussion about violence and abuse of women and girls. So the Labour MP, Mike Amesbury, has called for his stepping down because he suggests in his comments during a particular discussion, and given Mr. Dwyer's position as Police and Crime Commissioner and his extensive campaigns on violence against women and girls and various proposals and policies they're trying to bring in Cheshire Police for that, to stop all of that. What he's saying is, this is Mike Amesbury, he's suggesting that he's accusing Mr. John Dwyer of victim blaming.
Are you sure that he's not taking certain things out of context, Steve?
Well, just one second. The thing is, Mike Amesbury, I found myself agreeing on this particular point with the Labour MP, Mike Amesbury, and he's suggesting that these sort of comments from a police and crime commissioner may actually impede upon the confidence who are the victims of crime and violence, etc., may deter them from coming forward reporting things if they feel, they've been made to feel, that is, he's kind of suggesting that if their clothing was, shall we say, considered provocative, then it may stop people coming forward. And I can understand actually where Mr. Mike Amesbury's coming from in this. I think it gives the wrong message, to be quite frank, for the following reason. Because whilst people might have views on dress codes of their own, that's fine. I don't think it particularly helps to label those views as misogynistic. You could replace that, for example, with traditionalist or whatever. The fact of the matter is, when you're in a debate regarding women's safety and young girls' safety, and you're trying to address crime and things like that, then the fact of the matter is, comments about dress code do not help, because what it suggests is that the initiation of any crime or act against women and girls is potentially the responsibility or the cause, if you like, is the dress that they're wearing. And I don't agree with that, because I take the view, and a very serious view, that no matter what people are wearing, if people consider it to be, shall we say, a bit revealing or whatever, or non-traditional, shall we say, that makes no difference whatsoever, and should not cause or be an excuse for any attacks to any women or girls, how they're dressed. Their dress and how they dress should take no part in their safety. Women and girls of this country should be able to go about their business without fear. And how they are dressed is no excuse for people making attacks against them. I find Mr. Dwyer's comments actually quite concerning. So I'm actually in agreement with Mr. Mike Amesbury, and I think his comments, Mr. John Dwyer, he's offered an apology on this, and he's explained himself away, and he's kind of promoted his actions within Cheshire Police to reduce crime against women and girls. But the bottom line is, I think he's completely undermined that and given out the wrong message.
Okay, who's he going to be? Because I thought it was going to be the Gazelle next. Mark was trying to push in there. I saw him there with his finger up. Gazelle, go ahead. You were next.
Give me first back up. But go on, Gaz. Fire away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, was it taken out of context? You know, these Labour MPs absolutely brilliant, aren't they, at manipulating everything that's said, twisted, conniving.
Oh, yeah.
But it's okay when they say it. Has Amesbury asked for the resignation of this candidate for Rochdale yet?
No. And they're having a bad time. I've just had a message through that they are having a bad time in Rochdale, Labour. Oh, yeah. A bad time.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a shame, eh?
Yep.
Yeah, but it's great, isn't it? These left-winger... I'm not going to get down to their level. These left-wingy people. The hypocrites, a lot of them. Yeah. They're all hypocrites, every single one of them. Everybody has to resign when they make a mistake, apart from them.
Yeah.
Keir Starmer stood up. I've got the date. And he said to Rishi Chewbacca in Parliament, he said it at the Prime Minister's questions time, if anybody in my party misbehaves, they're out. And I've sent him a list of what?
Transgressions.
15 minimum, with three serious issues about his MP. So it's not a question of if anybody misbehaves in my party, they're out. It's a question of how many times, Mr. Starmer, do they have to misbehave? Because I'd give you a list of 15 and you're overlooking it. Hypocrite.
Okay.
Hypocrite. That's all he is.
Can we move on to Statsman? And then I'm going to get a comment from an outsider who's not really an outsider, but he is the cutter. And we'll get a northern point of view. He's not from the Hebrides or anything like that. He is from that place called Scotland. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, we're opening up a debate here. I don't think he should apologise at all. I think he should have defended his comments. I just think it's more fake outrage, me from the left.
Yeah.
But look at it this way. If you left something on view, your valuables in your car, and someone broke into your car, is it your fault? If people can see nice stuff through your window, your tellies and your laptops, and they burgle your house, is it your fault? No, but we take precautions, don't we? So maybe he's just asking the question, does it, you know, encourage that behaviour?
That kind of behaviour, yeah.
But think, why did schoolgirls wear short skirts?
Because, you know, they want to test out their allure in certain ways. They want to show.
Exactly. Now, things. I'm not blaming them, but it's attracting possibly the wrong attention. I mean, parental responsibility.
But they should be allowed, Mark. They should be allowed to express themselves.
Well, this is where I'm coming to. In an ideal world, we should all be allowed to wear what we want, but this is not an ideal world. And these people in charge of this country are letting a constant flow of people in who don't follow our way of living. And we know what they're doing to the young girls. So again, is this parental responsibility? Because there's no way if I had a daughter that age, she'd be going out wearing what looks like a belt. I'm sorry, but it's not happening. And the I'll just finish. But maybe it's not the reason. But he's asking genuine questions here.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, great. Yeah, we should all be able to walk around. We're doing and wearing what we want and leaving everything, leaving our doors open, but it's not like that anymore.
Okay.
And I just think, and I'll finish off with a thing, he's totally missing the point, and we need to be fixing the problem of why this is happening, not beating each other with a political stick, which is what the other story they were doing again. It's frustrating because we never get to a conclusion because they're all going, she said and he shouldn't
That's right, it's a bouncing ball.
Yeah, that's my view anyway. But
okay, all right, quick one from Stevie and then the Gazelle, and then I want to go to the Cutter. Come on, quick ones, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to go, the reason this kind of struck a chord with me, and I'm in agreement with Mark, actually. I mean, I'm a traditionalist in many ways, I like to think. But going back around about 20 years ago, I worked in a factory in Deeside. And I don't know, it came up in conversation, but various things were being discussed in a setting of a number of people there. And this guy came out with this comment out of the blue, and he was talking about how people dress and going out on a night out and how things had changed a bit. And he made this comment that if women, referring to women going out on a night out, his words were, they deserved, and I'm going to use the phrase he used, right, which I found appalling, they deserve to be raped if they're dressing sometimes the way they are. The outrage of everybody surrounding him, including myself and everybody else, at his comments was off the scale. They couldn't believe what they just heard. And that's the point I'm making.
But John didn't say that, though, did he?
I know he did.
And the misogynist things, again, it's the hatred of women. That's not what he was doing. They twisted.
I know what you're saying, but what the point I was making in relation to John Dwyer's comments were this, and I did separate his comments from what he was saying in the context of where he was saying it. And the fact of the matter is, he's given out a bit of a message, actually, that how you dress can actually potentially, the kind of message he's given is, it can potentially put you at more risk. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, the dress code and standards of messages given out is one thing. That's a separate debate in the sense that it doesn't excuse crime against people for how they're being dressed, for how they're dressed. It doesn't excuse it whatsoever. And as far as I'm concerned, women or anybody should go about the business feeling safe and being safe, and because of what they're wearing about themselves, should not put them at risk.
Okay. Gazelle, final comment before the Cutter sums
just one
up.
Quick comment, actually. I'm on about hypocrites earlier on. Well, it was Elaine who got in touch with me the night that Steve was on his way out with a very short skirt on.
And I didn't like the lipstick he was wearing either. The colour didn't suit him at all.
You're going through that door with that skirt on. And he said, wow, what's wrong with it? She said, I can see your balls.
You're going to have to cut that out.
No chance.
Right, okay, we're moving on. Now, the Cutter is going to give a sum up because he's somebody looking in from another part of the country, and he's going to give what he thinks is an outsider's view. It's what I normally call a black stranger's view, and not black as in colour.
Oh, you probably can't say that anymore.
Well, you can.
You racist. Cancel him. Cancel the landlord.
No, that's what
they do, though, isn't it, every time?
They can try. I don't give a damn. Go ahead. The Cutter, you have the floor, sir. Speak. The Raven is going to be muted. Everyone is not going to interfere with you. That's it. Go for it, Cutter.
I don't think anyone ever interferes with me, Jonathan. Maybe you. But...
There'll be a reason for that.
I think I 100% agree with Steve that everybody has the right to dress as they want without fear of any harm coming to themselves. But I take Mark's point 100%. And not so much as the dressing as you want, but if you put things in show, you've got to be aware that there is predators out there that are going to take advantage of that. And it's just increasing on a daily basis in this country. We're inviting people into this country that are sexual predators. And if we continue to do that, there is going to be more of these people on the streets that are going to take advantage of. don't want to single them out, but young school children wearing short skirts, whether they be boys, girls, or whatever they may be. Do you know what I mean? It's not just girls that wear short skirts at school now. Mm-hmm. Boys wear them as well. So I think it's a case of, what do you do? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm in agreement. I'm just a traditionalist in relation
chemical
to...
chemical castration.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm a traditionalist in terms of dress code and things like that. It's in the context of where Mr. Dwyer was saying it, giving a message about how to deal with crime.
I know, Steve, but everything should be up for debate, because if you miss one thing in the discussion, then you might miss the solution. And then when they don't like the person giving the message, they shut you down with crap like they did.
I should have been allowed
to explain what he meant, like I've probably tried to do for him. Don't know why I bother, because he probably wouldn't do the same for me. But
yeah, I agree. But this goes to a wider set of issues in terms of how we operate traditionalism and our views and how we conduct ourselves in society as a wider set of issues, not just dress code. You could go even going back even further. We used to have things like Sunday school. We used to have all sorts of things. People would present themselves differently, conduct themselves differently. We've lost so many things. This isn't just about dress. It's much bigger.
Okay. Well, I very, very much appreciate all the comments on that. What I will say, just to get rid of that subject and move on, is quite simply, we should be living in conditions where people can express themselves without fear, but there are boundaries, especially where children are concerned.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
So that is my point of view on that. Now, been meaning to ask this question, but the Raven has just been taking up too much time. I want to know what's going on. Shut up. Mute. Anybody calling for a mute there? Mute. Oh, yeah.
If you do, I'm going. I'm not coming back.
I don't give a crap. Okay. I don't give a damn. I'm that kind of a man. All right. Scotland, sir. What's going on?
There's so much, Jonathan, but I read an article in the Mail today, and this really made me laugh. So Edinburgh City Council, there's a developer going to build 268 flats in Edinburgh, and seemingly, I didn't know this, they've got to pay the council X amount for sort of schools and all the rest of it, right? Mm-hmm. So the Tory councillor said, we'll settle for £1 million, but the SNP councillor said, no, we want £3 million. So they put it to a vote in the council chamber. And it was a tied vote, and the actual resident officer decided she wasn't going to use her casting vote. So they had a coin toss to decide the decision, which is legal, seemingly, absolutely legal. So the coin toss, the SNP guy won, so the developer has now got to pay £3 million rather than £1 million. How's that on a coin toss, huh? How's that right, a coin toss?
I bet he was happy.
Well, any man that's tossing something will get a happier feeling, won't he?
Yeah, imagine in the House of Commons if you get issues saying that, going, oh, well, it's a tied vote. Let's just toss this coin to see if we're going to launch the missiles.
I think that's what they do anyway, Graham, to be honest. That's definitely what Keir Starmer's going to be doing, isn't it?
I just
had to get that one out because I found that unbelievable that decisions are made by a coin toss.
You may as well, because they're not very good at making them, are they?
Going back to very, very quickly to the Police and Crime Commissioner, with the actual sea change at the minute, because let's face it, everything's going to Labour again. You have this sea change that moves back in two. And at the minute, it's going to Labour, it's going to the red. And this is why I keep saying that these Police and Crime Commissioners should be absolutely apolitical.
Yeah.
They should have nothing to do with politics. No. Because I'm telling you, next time in, Steve, if you think this dire's dire, you wait till you get Dan Price, mate. I'm telling you.
We shouldn't have police and crime commissioners. We should get rid of a lot of them.
Okay.
Totally agree.
All right, I'm calling time. Steve, get to the bar. Mr. Cuttle is absolutely parched. We're not interested in your excuses.
I'm saving for my bike, I keep telling you. I'm up to about 40.
See that? He thinks more of a bike than he does for his Scottish colleague. That is disgusting. Hear that? That's disgusting. Show us your wallet.
Hey? I did notice he had his tartan jacket in the back of the chair tonight.
Hey. Tartan jacket. Oh, yeah, Bay City roller shirt.
Yeah, show us your wallet.
No, no.
We want to see how many moths come out of it.
I've got moths in the pockets.
Yeah, that's typical. Okay, well, quickly, let's have some quotes or any other words of wisdom for this audience of one that we know. Because we did have an audience of two, but obviously we lost one last week. But there you go. I still can't believe he supported the Raven. I can't believe it.
Oh, I can. There's
no,
many out there.
No. You've only got a few of them. I know a few of them in Scotland.
There's plenty. They're mental. All over the place.
Those ones are mental. No, it doesn't include the cutter.
Ellesmere Port across Cheshire. I've got them all over the place.
Yeah, get lost.
Canada. Got fans in Australia.
Yeah, really? Have you?
Yeah.
All right, well, get over to Australia then and carry on. Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's a lot to be said for special needs. There's a lot of people out there support it.
Are we saying the Australians are special needs?
Well, yeah, if they back Stephen.
All right, okay, all right.
Gazelle,
go ahead. Give us a word of wisdom to finish off. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a word of wisdom. I asked my boss, what do you want me to do with this 6 metre roll of bubble wrap? He replied, just pop it in the corner. 6 chuffing hours it took me.
Stassman, go ahead.
Do you know what? I'm going to use this opportunity to plug some of our other podcasts. So we've got a couple that we do every week. One's it's the fun one, isn't it? Prime Minister's Questions. That's always a chore.
Indeed.
And we do Thought of the Day?
Thought of the Day, yeah.
Whatever's on our mind and whatever's relevant that week.
Well, each other by the looks of things. So there you go.
Yeah, we love.
Yeah, look out for our other podcasts on all top podcast platforms.
And TikTok and soon Instagram.
Go on.
It's moving. Go ahead, Stevie, before I mute you.
What's this latest feature we're doing this week? Actually, I'm going to give a bit of a shout down.
Who for?
Is that where we're up to?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I was listening yesterday, as I said earlier, to Michael Gove being interviewed on housing in this country.
Were you not screaming liar at the TV screen?
No, I don't do things like that. We're civilised here. And I'd just like to say, here we go. 14 years of the housing situation, the social housing and housing provision, increasingly, year on year, getting worse. The costs rising, people in social housing living in poorer and poorer conditions, and lots of other issues. Strangely enough, the availability of housing, according to Mr. Gove, as I said earlier, is one of the reasons due to increased population. But nonetheless, Mr. Gove, like every other politician on the run-up to an election, has got all sorts of immediate policies to solve everything within the next few months on the run-up to a general election.
It's magic.
A decade and a half nearly of inaction, failure, doing nothing, allowing problems to get worse, and they're going to wave this magic wand and everything will be solved.
Izzy, wizzy, let's get busy.
Haven't we seen this nonsense election after election after election?
Well,
where they make promises and then do nothing for another 15 years.
How much magic?
I'm sick of this stupid nonsense.
I know. How much magic is there on the magic tree in Scotland, the gutter? Is there anybody can actually drum up any kind of support, magical support for Humza?
Don't think so. No, but I will give a shout down to Nicola Sturgeon, my old nemesis, for her Oscar-winning performance at the COVID inquiry the other week there.
Oh, that was great.
The tears were flowing and she'd done a great job. And do you know the thing about it is, they presented her with a bunch of flowers. The SNP presented her with a bunch of flowers afterwards because it was a very difficult interview for her, just to make her feel a wee bit better afterwards.
Did she get an Oscar?
Yes, they
did. Did she get an Oscar?
The time she had the interview about that bloke with a willy, wasn't it? That was another one.
They've put the minimum unit of alcohol up to 65 pence.
Whoa, that ain't going to go down well in Glasgow. Pence.
Honestly. So see the next time you come up, Jonathan, you're coming up in a Luton van full of booze for us.
No problem. We'll do the booze run for you, sir, without a shadow of a doubt. Well, you know what time it is. Thank God. That's all over. I'm ringing the bell again. I'm the landlord. I can do whatever I want. Shut up. All right? Just say good night. Say goodbye. And take that lipstick off.
I'll say goodbye when I'm good and ready. And I'm
okay,
ready.
Well then, shut up then. Okay. Say good night, Gazelle. Or goodbye.
Good night, everybody. And Steve, how many times have I told you we're not on video yet, so you don't need to wear your makeup until we get the cameras rolling.
That's right.
Good night, everybody.
Look at his face. Mark, that's that dog with a hair lip again.
My name is just Mark, not Mark. Mark.
But Mark. Anyway, Mark.
Yeah, I'd like to say goodbye to our lovely listeners, and of course, you fine gentlemen.
Fine gentlemen, fine body of men. Did you hear that, Steve?
Fine specimen to you.
Yes.
Well, don't forget the book I showed you before. That's how I will look at the end.
Don't forget to read it, though, mate.
Yeah. Don't forget. Yeah. Don't just look at the pictures. Okay, and to our fabulous man that comes on from Scotland, the Cutter, say goodnight, sir.
Cheers, guys. It's been a blast. As per usual, look forward to the next time.
Indeed.
You've got a strange idea of an enjoyable evening, Graham.
Oh, it's all
tortuous. I call it tortuous.
See the next time I'm on. I want to see him one of those blow up suits with the muscles on it and all the rest of it.
I'm just gonna.
They'll be real.
I'm just gonna buy a suit that's already ripped and put it on.
That's the one, Jonathan. You blow them up.
Listen, Elson, wind your neck in. I'm gonna say. Oh, look at him. Listen here, Elson, wind your neck.
Check it out. Look at these muscles, man. Look at him.
I've seen bigger knots in pieces of string. Elson, wind your neck and you get down the gym. Goodbye to all our fabulous listeners and all the Raven fans out there. They're absolute
goodbye, Norma Jean. Never thought Steve was a queen.
He's such a prat. He's a special kind of prat.